Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
You are listening live to the program, brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. Get a cash offer for your motorcycle in minutes. Go to WorthHarley-Davidson.com and click on the Sell to Us tab. If you're ready to sell, Worth Harley-Davidson will give you the best cash offer in minutes. Worth Harley-Davidson, just south of the airport on I-29 and online at WorthHarley-Davidson.com.
Yeah, it felt great to be out there. I was excited. I'm excited about being here. And it was good. I did usually at 7 o'clock when we had wake up call this morning. I'm usually don't jump out of bed, but I kind of did today because I was excited about what was getting ready to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of talent. I mean, they're still a great defense. I mean, I watch them in all the games they've played this year, and they've done a great job. And so they have playmakers everywhere. I mean, obviously 99. He strip sacked me last time twice when we played him. So, yeah, make sure we account for him every single time.
And now, just like Bill Self, back in the big chair, Todd Lebo.
Yes, right you are, Curtis. And I jumped out of bed today. You know what?
You did.
Before 7. I woke up at like 6:13 today. No alarm. Don't need one.
No, you were just excited.
My wife said, "Why are you still in bed?" I said, "Oh, well, I guess it's time to get up." That was the alarm today.
You were jacked.
I was jacked, ready to go. We're a little late start today. I'm Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro. He's off today for the Thanksgiving holiday. I think he's home doing all the prep work.
I think it is.
That's what he's doing.
He likes to put the apron on and start making the pies.
Yeah.
I think,
you know,
he's actually, I think he's actually hunting for the turkey right now.
He's not making any pies. He got his pies from Hen House.
Absolutely.
Tippin's pies.
Only way to go.
Actually, they're probably making some pies, too. I'm going over there tomorrow. They don't know. Don't tell them. I'm going over now. So we'll be here today, having a good time today. We start a little bit late because we just heard the Kansas Jayhawks beat NC State. Wasn't exactly dominant, but they won. You know, they did enough.
They weren't really threatened.
No.
They kind of kept them at arm's length. They got to 6, got out to 10, back to 6, back to 10, and ended at 6.
Yeah, they got her done.
If you had KU and the under, you're having a rough day.
And you, if you had that end. I saw the spread at either 8.5 or 9 in that last second 3.
And that not only did that 3 give NC State the cover, it pushed it over the total, too.
Yeah. That's the great moments in gambling. Thank you to FanDuel here, state of Kansas. You can gamble and you can be heartbroken with little plays like that. Or you can be super excited. You know, that's
Kansas,
we always say,
Missouri,
that's a bad beat or that's an amazing win. You know,
KU and Missouri are combined 1-1 on the year on crazy last second bombs to flip. They got a win and Kansas got a loss.
Yeah.
Out of that.
This was a little different.
ATS.
That Missouri one was a crazy one because it was the walk on.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. It was
just fling it up here at the buzzer to go up by 29.
So now we know this. Kansas will play tomorrow early. We don't know who they're going to play yet.
Either Wisconsin or Dayton, right?
Yeah. So they're going to get the first game out of the chute tomorrow. It'll be 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will have a triple header of football for you after that right here on Sports Radio 810. So it's a great day of sports here on 810 because I know a lot of you will be hunkered down somewhere, but many of you might have to go to a Thanksgiving somewhere. You might have to go to two Thanksgivings. Turn 810 on in the car. In your basketball.
You
can hear football. We got you covered. It's fun. Because I'm hosting this year, so I'm not going to be in the car. But generally, we would go to my parents' house, and they're coming to my house this year. And I always would be listening to the Lions game as we drove up there. I like that. My wife's like, "Why are we listening to this?" I said, "Well, it's football, woman."
And it's on because, Todd, what is 810? It's the home
it's
of what?
Of everything that's effing great.
Yeah, it is.
It is what it is. So I tell this story a lot. I'm going to tell you a brief story of my life as a Thanksgiving boy.
Okay.
And my life with.
I know one thing. It's not going to be brief.
It'll be brief enough.
It won't be Nate Buchady.
No. But my wife and I have been dating. We got engaged on Thanksgiving. Okay. In 1993, our first date that was our official date, because I was just in the friend zone for several years, whatever, we call it our first date, was a Thanksgiving, going to the plaza and looking at lights with some friends in 1988.
Oh,
So cool. Thanksgiving's cool. So it it's wasn't, important thing.
Like
for
he didn't get engaged over a Thanksgiving dinner.
No, we didn't. I got engaged on the plaza though.
Here's a more helping of white meat, and will you marry me?
I asked her to marry me on Thanksgiving down on the plaza. It was freaking 2 degrees, and we used to go to my grandma's house. And then we would go drive through the plaza on the way back and look at the lights. And like the year before it was cold, we didn't get out and walk around. And she was like, why didn't we get out and walk around? So my plan was we're going to get engaged on Thanksgiving. I didn't ask for anyone's permission for nothing because her parents were blabbermouths. They would have told her.
Right.
I wanted to be a surprise.
Could not. Circle of trust.
So it's so freaking cold in 1993 mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving. We drive down there and she didn't want to get out of the car.
It was cold all through the Midwest. That was the Dallas Miami snow game.
Oh,
it was cold everywhere in the Midwest.
She didn't want to get out of the car. And I said, I'm not going to hear you whining about it. We didn't get out of the car. Because I didn't want to get engaged sitting in the car on Brush Creek.
Right, right.
So anyway, we got good parking.
Episode.
We got good parking.
Nice.
I mean, the lights were already lit. This was not like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we go walk. We were on one block, and I finally asked her to marry me. It was fun. Anyway, that's not the football story I'm going to tell you. But we love Thanksgiving. I love this holiday. It's great. You hang out with people. You watch football. There's not a whole lot better than that. Before we were engaged, while we were dating, we went over to this was one of the years you got to go to a couple of Thanksgivings. We went to her family's Thanksgiving, and then we went to my grandma's house. And we go over to her aunt and uncle's house. They lived in Raytown. And we got there, and they were doing early. They were early Thanksgiving, and we're going to grandma's for a little late Thanksgiving. So we're sitting there. I don't know these people. First time I met her aunt and uncle. First time I met her granddad, and she's got some little cousins who are there who are like 8 or 9 years younger than us. They were running around. And we're sitting down in this split-level house in Raytown, and we're just sitting there, just crickets chirping. I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, I'm like 20. And there's a TV in the corner, and it's not on. And I'm like, are you guys going to turn the game on? And they said, what game? Well, the Browns are playing the Lions.
What family am I getting into?
What
here?
Do you mean, what game? It's Thanksgiving. Oh, sure, yeah, you can turn that on. Okay, all right. Who are these people? Anyway, we've been married for...
Dad wants to watch the football. Turn the game on.
All these years. So that was that. That's why I love football on Thanksgiving. We almost would always eat late at my grandma's house, usually about halftime of the Cowboys game, you know? So that's, you know, I would always position myself in the dining room where I could look through the TV and I could see the TV through there and keep people updated on what's happening. And we go to my parents' house. I always sit on the side of the table where I can look over the half wall and see the TV. And people say, we don't need the TV on. I said, I don't need the TV off, but I don't need the volume on either. Just have the game on. We need to know what's going on. It's Thanksgiving, for crying out loud, people.
Do you think they should continue to be just Detroit and Dallas?
I'm fine with it, you know. And they've added the night game, so people are getting their turn.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I get it. It'd be fine if no one else did.
It does kind of feel like Thanksgiving 1 year in those spots. A little different when they changed venues.
And the Chiefs played the first Thanksgiving night game.
Yes, here.
In the
06 against Denver.
The kickoff of NFL Network.
Yeah.
And right before Lamar Hunt passed away.
Yeah.
And that
wasn't that a weird score game, too?
I don't remember
23
the
game. Something maybe.
I do remember that like Mr. 22. Hunt was he was in the hospital in Dallas, and the irony was I don't think they had NFL Network in the hospital, and they it was brand new.
That's
and so they had to go like bring a dish or something. You know what I mean? This is the very end of his life, but like, you know, this was like NFL Network was brand new. We're gonna have a Thanksgiving game. We're gonna do all this stuff, and then the Chiefs get to be on it because the Chiefs were the Thanksgiving team in the NFL. Right,
19-10. Yes, a little bit of an odd score.
That's probably not a scoregami, but we don't see that one all the time.
Not common.
Sounds like too many field goals to me. That's what that sounds like. People weren't going for two. I know that it was something else. But I do love Thanksgiving, and I do love hanging out, watching sports. And we're gonna have a full one tomorrow because we're gonna have basketball, we're gonna have football, and we're gonna have football too because the World Cup is going on. Those will be happening as well. There'll be all kinds of fun stuff. So I'm excited about that. But we do have a full show for you today, and it's even a short show since we started a little bit late. We have Eric Eager, data scientist, coming up to talk football with us at 3 o'clock. We will do the program picks. I am picking for Seren, but not picking for Seren. I'm just relaying his picks, correct? I don't have any...
Correct.
I don't want to be in charge of anything
no,
here.
No.
We'll do that. We'll talk to our good friend Adam Teicher. at 4:30. Tell you what you need to know. And we've got Seth Kaiser from The Athletic coming on in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock tonight, we have Crunch Time. It's normally a Thursday show. They'll be on tonight. And then Jack Johnson has you at 7 o'clock. And then, like I said, we'll have all that basketball and football tomorrow. So it should be fun. I'm excited about this week for the Chiefs. It's been a little bit of a weird week. We heard from the coordinators yesterday, but today was a regular old Wednesday. Let's play a couple of quick things before we have to take our first break of the day. You know, the Rams are not what you would expect from a Super Bowl champion walking into this building. So they're a little bit of a mess right now. They have a lot of injuries, and they have no draft picks. That's the future part of it. And they've got a real quarterback situation going on right now. But Andy Reid says they're not going to take this team lightly.
You know, they've had a little change to the team, and then injuries. You know, that's those things happen. So, and that's not something they planned on happening, right? So, but that's kind of what I see. With, you know, with where they're at. That, but at the same time, 99-54-5. I'll be all there. These guys haven't changed, and their quarterback is banged up. But whether he plays or doesn't play, they've got good backups there. They've got good receivers and O line. So, you know, you gotta get yourself ready.
Yeah, 99 Aaron Donald is still there. Mm-hmm. And you heard in the open, Curtis, you put that bite in there from Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, he remembers him.
By the way, did that podium ever do to Andy? Because he was hitting pretty hard.
I was knocking that podium there. I was bringing the – putting the hammer down, baby.
Put it down on him. But, I think the Chiefs should win this game. They're a two-touchdown favorite for a reason. They're better than the Rams. The Rams are hurt right now. I don't think this feels like a look-ahead game, because they're going to go on a three-game road trip after this. So this is like the last home game for a bit. It sounds like, feels to me like this should be kind of a celebration, like a flex-your-muscle game.
Yeah, and this is often the case. Seems like that way, every time the Chiefs play, about to play someone gets well.
Mm-hmm.
The receivers, we had the Chargers last week. Reports are today that the Bengals expect Jamar Chase to play this weekend. Now he's practicing today, so he'll be back just in time. Ahead.
Yeah.
Get one game under his belt and then play the Chiefs. I'm sure Chiefs fans are not thrilled by that development, but it was kind of expected.
Yeah, that'll be the issue next week. But I don't know who all the Rams could get back this week. I don't expect Matthew Stafford to play. There's some real concern about this. Is two times in the concussion protocol this year, and listen, he's getting older anyways. I mean, he's always going to be a Super Bowl champion.
Right.
He had a great year last year.
He's 34.
But this is not...
he's not found it.
No.
The offense is one of the worst in football, point-wise and yardage-wise. The defense has fought hard, and it's got those numbers that Andy Reid just listed off, but they're middle of the pack, a little below the middle of the pack in points. So you got to think that this is one of those games where the Chiefs can come out and get up early
And be fine
because the Rams don't have comeback power.
Yeah, there's a path for the Rams to win this game, but it's going to be
pretty narrow. It's
turnovers.
It's being up 9-9 nothing or up 10. One of those,
Right. It'll
13-3, 10-0, whatever type of games.
Bad mistakes. It'll be turnovers, bad calls, something like that. But we just don't see that out of the Chiefs. These numbers are getting insane with November and December games, how good they've been.
Yeah.
And who knows exactly why? It could be schedule-driven, could be whatever. Part of it is the reason, and Andy Reid has said this before, the reason they win games after byes is because they're good. When you win 10, 11 games a year, chances are you're probably going to win the game after the bye because you have won almost all of your games.
His win percentage after a bye is well above his regular season win percentage.
But if you were a team that was 4-12, They probably don't win after the bye because you've only got four chances to win a game.
Much of his success there is because he's good.
And we've looked through earlier this year, I remember talking about how they'd kind of struggled in September and October on some of these games, and some of it was just that's when Patrick Mahomes was hurt once, that was when just some weird game happened, whatever. But there's enough out there now that there's something to the fact that these guys are really good at the end of the year. And it's a little bit of a trick with this streak because they lost to the...
Yeah, January.
January was the game.
I was going to go there
the Bengals,
after we played the Andy Reid comment, but yeah.
But it was January, but it is what it is. They've been very good.
But still, that the last 2 months of the calendar year win that many games,
yeah.
You don't need to really apologize for the January. Well, it's an asterisk No, it isn't, because they've won 25 straight in those 2 months, that is something.
It's amazing. And, you know, we heard when we were talking about, I remember a couple weeks ago with Andy about, you know, the hard-fought game they had with Tennessee and all that, and they said that we're already in our kind of second half practice. They've got some science to this on how they go about practice and to keep their bodies fresh and all that, and they've got great players. But Andy doesn't really have super good answers to why they do this, but you got to ask these questions. Why are you so good? And here's what he told our Matt Derrick today.
Yeah, listen, I think we have good players, a good locker room, coaches that are willing to work, and that combination normally does well. I mean, but it's everybody. It's not one thing we're doing. It's everybody involved. I mean, you see what Brett and his crew have done by bringing people in. They're constantly replenishing and bringing guys in that can play and help us. So that's part of it. You know, the way Clark sets up the organization for us to be able to do those things. I mean, that's important. So, I mean, everybody's got a piece. I can go through. Except Ted, he doesn't do anything.
They know that.
I'm not going to poo-poo on Ted Cruz there.
Firing.
He does his
shots.
Part. But they really do have him, because like last week was a great example of it. They had injuries before the game and during the game, and they were just fine. So because they've got a system in place to do these things, and that's why they win these games.
Danny said this yesterday. I mean, it was just a general thought. Man, they're really good at just freaking winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's way too plain a statement to have any serious meaning, but it does. It has a lot of meaning.
It's like the Chargers aren't really good at it.
Freaking win.
The Chargers the Chargers have all kinds of talent. Yes. They're just not good at winning the game.
Right.
There was, during the Jordan documentary, there was B.J. Armstrong said it was during that 92 season when they were going for their second straight that he said that just became the year where Michael Jordan and the Bulls as a whole, they would, okay, we're going to play for 44 minutes. Okay, cool. Now it's 4 minutes left in the game. Now we're going to win it.
Yeah.
That they just knew how to win.
Yeah. Well, the Chiefs look like that right now. And then, listen, they do have – they didn't win against the Colts, and they didn't win against the Bills. And they had chances at the end of those games to maybe do something, and they didn't do it. But they've gotten it done in the other games, and that's why they're sitting where they are at the one seed right now in the AFC. We are underway now on the program. I'm Todd Lebo, in for Sarin Petro. Curtis Siebold is here. Adam Dravetta is here. We're taking you up till 3 o'clock when we talk to Eric Eager on the program. Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo, in for Sarin Petro today. Adam Dravetta is here. Curtis Siebold is here. Coming up later tonight, we've got Crunch Time on the air for you. And then we've got a little sports night action with Jack Johnson. And, of course, we've got the Kansas Jayhawks playing tomorrow morning. Right now, Wisconsin is beating Dayton pretty easily, but college basketball. Whoever wins that game will be KU's opponent tomorrow morning. And then we've got that triple header of action. Other Jayhawk things going on, not officially announced by the school yet, but the report came out last night that Lance Leipold has agreed to his second contract
extension in 2 months.
Like two, 3 months. It's good to win games and be wanted, nice. Right?
We want you through 27. Okay, cool. I want you through 29. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, we haven't seen any numbers yet, but it's not just an extension. This is going to be a pay raise, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And a huge part to me are Michael Swain, who's been on the program a few times, does a great job for 24/7 Sports, said in his story that he told, I don't know how, I couldn't figure out how advanced the talks had gotten, but it did get to a point where he told Nebraska no. Now, I don't mean if that means there was an offer and he told them no, or if the process was going and he drew his name out of consideration. But regardless, I think that's a huge part of this story.
Yeah.
He told a school like Nebraska no to stay at Kansas.
Yeah, and, you know, they're showing a commitment. We'll see with this renovation stuff that's going to go on and the expansion of the football facilities. That's supposedly kind of getting underway-ish, right? They made that announcement.
$300 million.
Yeah, that's going down. And, you know, I think for him, this is not a guy who's like a 35-year-old job hopper, climber guy. He's 58 years old. This can be a place where if it works out right, it's your last job.
Yep.
And you do this, and if you leave the program as a place where you can go to bowl games and compete, and you've built something, like actual physical infrastructure, built something that makes the football program up to date with everyone else, and it's like a legacy deal.
I've long thought KU's best case scenario, and I Lance may prove me wrong on this, and he may stay long term and win at an extremely high level. But I thought there would be, for KU football, there would be nothing wrong with being a program like Houston was for a while, which was a place where young coaches would go, prove they could, you know, they've had multiple young coaches had success many times in a row with Houston, and then they move along. Mm-hmm. If Leipold turns it into a job even better than that, I'd be thrilled.
Well, yeah, the place where you'd stay. I mean, you know.
It'd be 65 at the end when this contract expires.
Right. So I
think that's not generally when you tend to leave. You didn't have to.
You know, I'm not saying he's going to be this or whatever, but Missouri was in this every few years let's hire a guy thing for a while, and Gary Pinkel came, and he won, and then, you know, people called, would you go here? And then Washington called him. Mm-hmm. It was like his mentor, and, yeah, Don James place, yeah. And he's like, no, I'm staying. If you can build something, what Gary Pinkel did is he built something that was worth staying at.
Yes.
And a place where you could go win and you could make title games. And if you made the title game and won the league, you could be in the big game. You know,
started putting guys in the first round of the draft.
And you start doing that.
Playing then national TV games.
It's a place you stay.
Yep.
Okay. But that takes the right person. But Gary Pinkel was the right guy for that, because Gary Pinkel wasn't a job hopper guy. The guy had worked as an assistant for 10 years at one place, and he went to the MAC, and he stayed there for 10 years, and then he came to Missouri.
That's Lance Leipold.
Eight seasons
at Wisconsin-Whitewater and six at Buffalo.
Yeah, so it's like this is not a guy who's just kind of been jumping around. I think it's great for him and his family. I think he's been an awesome coach for them. I like the way he's built the program so far. Listen, we still know they got a ways to go. They made a bowl game this year, but they have been beaten in some of the old kind of KU beatdowns here and there. So he knows they need more players. They need to have depth on that roster. But they're deeper and better than they've been for years. But they still aren't. I mean, who's there? Nobody's
and
there.
And now he can go out and, well, not like the players who he's going to recruit this year aren't concerned about the additional whatever two years that were put on the deal, because they're gonna not be here anyway, but that's something you can use as you move forward. And not only will I be here, but my university has shown the ultimate statement and their belief in what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. That's what that extension means.
Absolutely.
This year,
yeah, they believe in me, they believe in what we're doing. Kansas is a worthy place to go. There were times over the past 5 or 6 years where Kansas was losing out to recruits to non-power five schools.
Yeah,
not a lot, but it happens sometimes. Well, you know, you can't have that be the case, and they've got something that's going on right now that's great. And making a bowl game is huge to develop a program. It means you get to practice for the next 3 weeks or something after the season's over.
Yep.
Whereas before, it's like, you're on the recruiting trail, whatever. They're trying to build a program here. Yep. You know, they've got a lot of players coming back on this team. And that's what those extra practices do. Helps you develop depth, helps you get things going on. Now, it's wild now. These 3 weeks are insane, because then the transfer portal is going to open. Signing day is in December now. It's not just in February. So it's absolutely wild what happens once the title games are over. It's crazy.
It's going to be kind of weird for Kansas fans who are, you know, I'm not talking the Johnson County, you know, Jayhawk sticker basketball fans. I'm talking KU fans. It's been a while since they've, like, okay, we're kind of set in both sports, and the off seasons don't really. Now it's look at the recruiting, not at who can we get.
Yeah,
it's been 20 years, 30 years almost since they've had that situation.
Planning a bowl trip. Yeah. I mean, that hasn't been a thought for anyone in a while.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
So it's fun. It's fun. So
pretty
congrats
cool.
to Lance Leipold. Like I said, we don't have anything from the university yet. We haven't seen a contract. We haven't seen these numbers. But the report is it's happening, and it's going to go in
Pete
through 29. You know,
throw darts.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So good deal there for them.
And if we hear Lance Leipold gets on Twitter and says, that's news."
Yeah, I don't.
And
think
tweets
we're
out a variety of odd little emojis.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening.
But that's probably not going
to
happen.
I expect an announcement to come probably later today. They get through a basketball game this morning and all that stuff. I think we'll see something here.
Get all the chairs put in the right row. And
get it sent out. But congrats to him. Good news for the program, and good news for him, too, because, like I said, this is a guy, listen, he's been doing this for a long time, and you weren't making a whole bunch of money at Wisconsin-Whitewater. You're making money. You're surviving. You're doing your deal.
Yeah.
But he wasn't up there you know, he wasn't even making like special teams coordinator SEC money at Wisconsin Whitewater. This is a great thing for a guy who's worked really hard at this in his family, because this is real money, you know. Very
and
cool.
So from 275 now, what do you think it'll be?
I think it's going to be over $4 million.
Yeah, I think he better be making more than Eli Drinkwitz was making before his new deal.
Yeah, I think it'll be over $4 million. That would be my guess.
Five plus.
Yeah, it's...
I know this was years ago, but I mean, did Mangino, what did he top out at? 2.5 after the Orange Bowl?
Yeah,
they had contract?
They had to pay him $3 million to get out of the deal. But yeah, something like that. I mean, the numbers are just insane now.
So this, but yeah, I mean, that's just another statement of KU. Now, look, this is kind of like participation ribbon sort of thing, but you're willing to pay the going rate. Which
right.
is big. I mean, that says something for KU, because for a long time they were hiring people like David Beatty and showing they were not willing to pay.
He would take the job.
Exactly. And they were not willing. Either they weren't willing to pay the going rate, or they couldn't find somebody worthy of the going rate that would take the job.
Oh, yeah. David Beatty made way less money than many coordinators in Power 5 leagues.
A story in 06 that he signed. Was the new deal $1.5 million a year, but he got another bump after 07.
Yeah, he got
a
new one after 07, I'm certain of. Yeah.
I think the number when he got fired in December of 09 was that they had to give him $3 million and it had to be paid before December 31st because they wanted on that year's taxes or something like that. So, anyway. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Sarin Petro. Hope you're having a good, I guess we'll call it Thanksgiving week. It's holiday week. Mm-hmm. Some school districts are out all week. A lot of college kids are obviously already out. This is a big party night back in town.
Yes.
Everyone's home for Thanksgiving.
I noticed that.
A lot of partying going on.
A lot of revelry.
Mm-hmm. Nice towny bar and gardener that everybody, we always used to go to.
Ignite.
I'm long past that age where I do that anymore, but... It was always the night before Thanksgiving was the place to hit.
I'm brining a turkey tonight, so there'll be no going out to bars for me. A couple of little news and tidbits here. Officially now, the Texas Rangers have announced that Dayton Moore is going to be in their front office. My understanding is he's not moving down there or anything. He's a Kansas City, and he's going to hang around and do this. It's a job where he'll be down there some, but it's an advisory role.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real job, but it's not like... You know, he's not the general manager. He's a senior advisor.
Special advisor, I think. Yeah. That's what the exact title is.
So if he wants to keep working, bully for Dayton, man, go.
Senior advisor in their baseball operations department.
Yeah. So that's the news
there.
I don't know
what that entails.
In other Dayton news, the Dayton Flyers are just down by three now.
There you go.
Just under the eight-minute timeout.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's best you don't have to mention that you saw what I did because I was so good at
that's
what
true.
I did.
So, but Wisconsin still has more points.
They do. They're kind of badgering them a little bit.
Oh, wow.
It's enough of that. Okay, a little World Cup update for you. Early this morning.
A World Cup date is what you call it.
A World Cup date. While I know both of you were sleeping, Morocco and Croatia came to a 0-0 tie. Were either one of you awake when Japan beat Germany?
No.
Adam?
Well, I don't think I was.
What time did it happen? But probably not.
Well, the game started at...
Wait, you're saying when... Because I wasn't alive when they were...
The football game today.
Okay, no.
Yeah. It ended in the 9
o'clock
hour.
There's a time in world history where they were buddies.
Yeah. Amazing victory for Japan against Germany. Couple of second half goals. Unbelievable play from Japan. So, and then... Spain 7-0 over Costa Rica.
Mm. I think they saw what happened to Argentina and said, that ain't going to be us.
Not going to happen. You know, like yesterday, you know, France went down 1-0 10 minutes into the game and then ripped off 4 or whatever, 5, whatever ended up being. But yeah, Spain poured it on early and often against Costa Rica. And right now, Belgium holds a 1-0 lead against Canada.
Belgium!
There's just probably a minute to go here. They're in stoppage time already. So Canada's on kind of their last leg to try to get down there and get a goal. If it happens before this music turns, I'll tell you. If it doesn't, consider it a victory for Belgium in the group stage there in Group F of the World Cup. So final there. Belgium gets the win. Really nice left-footed goal that they scored earlier in the match. It was really good. But Canada fought real hard. That's a quality team. Quality team. So we got a our North American CONCACAF right now, we got a nil-nil Mexico score. We had a loss for Canada. We had a draw for the United States. And we had Costa Rica with a 7-0. That's not great. So that means our four CONCACAF teams scored a goal, and that was America's goal.
A goal. A singular.
That's not great. It's early, though. Hey, the watch party is going to be fun on Friday down at the PNL. If you get a chance to go down, you got to get those tickets through Sporting KC's website. It's free, but you got to have a ticket to go. Nate's going to be down there broadcasting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, beside Lynn Dawson, three Chiefs quarterbacks have won a game on Thanksgiving. Name any one of them. Brought to you by Good Sense.